be fair to say, since the book's been released, it's produced quite a reaction, because some of the things you've revealed in that people haven't seen before, behind closed doors, more or less.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that the there's millions of AFL fans around the country. In fact, there's 1 million of them who are paid-up members. That's, what, 1 in 27. So it's a very popular product. And but having said that, I think that the general football public are a bit smarter than maybe the mainstream football media would know. And I think that they are interested to know about some of these things. They've seen all of the scandals play out over the years, you know, from the Carlton salary cap scandal right up to the big daddy of them all, the Essendon saga. And I think that's why footy fans knew there was more to the story. So I was glad I was able to join the dots in this book.
You've said, you mentioned about questionable conduct with governments, politicians, regulators, and sections of the media as well. Some sections of the media have a cosy relationship with the AFL. You, in fact, had your AFL accreditation revoked at one point, didn't you?
Yeah, I did in 2013 finals. Obviously, that was the year that the Essendon saga exploded, and I was quite an unpopular person, obviously, at AFL House, so I couldn't get into the finals that year. But that's okay. That's the way they roll. They are their own world governing body. They can behave as they please, the AFL. But I think that it's been 28 years since there was a review of the AFL system, a Crawford report. And it's long overdue for another one.
Who would conduct it? I mean, the AFL itself isn't independent enough to do that.
No, they wouldn't. What the president, so Andrew Pridham, the Sydney Swans chairman, who's leading this charge, and Jeff Kennett and Peggy O'Neill and a number of other clubs, the way that it would be conducted would be an independent review. That's what the Crawford report was in 1993, where you would get, you know, someone I think who needs to know the Australian rules landscape. Maybe you could have multiple people who go away and assess all the different aspects of it, which I'm particularly interested in the governance of it. You know, is the commission system we have at the moment with the powerful executive under it really runs the game? Is that the right model? Do we police integrity properly? Is there enough accountability and transparency? What about the funding? Where does all the money go? They're the areas that I'm interested in. But if you wanted to broaden it out, you could look at the health of Australian rules full stop. You know, we've seen the sad decline of teams in country football and Tasmania and the like. So
it
depends
for sure
on the terms of reference. But for my point, it needs to, the light needs to be shone right on head office.
We've seen a lot of in the news with the NRL and the attitudes that players have to women, and you know, even some misogyny, I guess, at the higher level. And we've said, no, that doesn't really happen in the AFL, but apparently it does. It's just been well covered up.
Yeah, the allegations that I refer to in the book, and Jeff Halloran and The Australian has also been working on in recent weeks, is relates to the treatment of staff at AFL House and some of its state bodies, so not at the hands of players. This is about, you know, the way that women and some men. There was a man, a gentleman, who was paid out $200,000 bullying payout some time ago at the AFL, plus ongoing medical expenses. There is talk that there'll be an independent probe into these allegations ordered by the AFL Commission. I think that would be a great outcome, but I also think that the AFL Supremos will be shocked at what they find if they do indeed have that investigation.
And I guess we'd be pretty naive if we thought that sort of stuff hasn't filtered down through to AFL Tasmania as well.
Yeah, look, I don't know about AFL Tasmania, but I do know other state bodies where certainly staff have been, as Jess Halloran said in her piece, you know, five women that she'd spoke to who considered taking their own lives. I don't think that that's where we want to be at.
No.
The sporting code that people some think that they're better off not on the planet. So this is an aspect of the boys' club system that needs great reflection.
You're also suggesting in the book that the millions and millions of dollars of revenue and funding that the AFL receives, there's no real clear picture of where all that money goes to.
The AFL is a not-for-profit charity, which brings in
since
800 since forever.
Really,
it doesn't pay tax. The AFL doesn't pay tax, and therefore I say if that's and it gets a lot of government funding for stadia etc. And what I say, that's fine, but if you're going to have that status, you have to be accountable and you have to have transparency, particularly on the policing of integrity matters, particularly on the integrity matters that affect gambling. You know, Melbourne tanking, for example, there would have been a lot of people who bet on Melbourne matches this year, and I'm not saying it's all about betting, but if you do bet on a match, you're entitled to know that the team is trying to win, and we now know from the transcripts that Melbourne had no intention of winning in 2009, yet the regulator, the Victorian Casino and Gambling Regulator, that looks after betting, polices the AFL's betting licences, failed spectacularly, as they did with Crown Casino. It wasn't until the Sydney regulator had a look at Crown Casino, and now we know what's happened there. Crown Casino has been blown up, and I say, another aspect of this book, we don't really still know exactly the details of that. So many different aspects where governance of the AFL can and should be better.
So the ultimate recommendation that you're suggesting from this, and I think you touched on it earlier, is that there needs to be another report. That's been so long since the Crawford report that it's long overdue.
28 years it's been, and that's far too long. Any good business should be reflecting on itself every 5 to 10 years at least, not 28 years. And I think that it'd be many of your listeners who would agree that there's been so much scandal and so much controversy and so many stories that don't quite add up, that we as football supporters deserve to know what's been going on, and they need to pull up their socks. And I look, the sad thing is, to get this review, you'd need all 18 presidents to agree. And it's very hard. It's a bit like herding cats. Most of the clubs are actually so financially subservient to head office that they're just not going to kick up a big enough stink and demand it. So I don't have actually, whilst I lay out a whole series of recommendations for reform, I'm not holding my breath that the system's going to change any time soon, even though COVID did certainly derail them to an extent.
Yeah. Michael, what are you hearing about the Tasmanian team in the AFL? It's something that we're obviously quite interested in down here at the moment. We get the feeling we've been pushed aside into one corner and you know, just keep quiet for now.
Yeah, of course you are. It's disgusting. But what I will say is that those scenes on the terrace at Launceston of the mad Essendon supporters jumping up and down, to me, was a window into the soul of the passion. I know that was Essendon, but it's the passion. Have you ever seen fans dancing like that in a Gold Coast Suns game? No, you haven't. Now, I believe the Gold Coast is a place to have a good team. I also believe we should have an AFL team in Tasmania. I think it's disgusting that we don't. I think the pressure's growing, though. I really feel as though Gil McLachlan as well, he's sort of like a legacy type. He'd like to leave a legacy. He's done that with AFLW, and I wonder whether if he's got another 2 years in him. I wouldn't be surprised. My gut feeling is that Tasmania will get its own team, and I think it will be sooner rather than later. There's certainly a commitment to it. The question is, what does it look like? Is it a 19th licence? Is it a relocated team? I don't think that Tasmanians want a relocated team. They want their own team. But how do the logistics of that work? But I would love nothing more than they say at the start of the next TV rights deal, we're going to have a team in Tasmania, and then Tasmanians get to decide what they call it and where it's based and where they play their games, etc. But it's a heartland state, and they deserve a team.
You know, we're going to miss the boat too if we don't do something soon, because as you're probably aware, we have a team in the NBL coming up this season, the Tasmania Jack Jumpers, and the way that the public and the media have got behind them, and they haven't even played their first game yet. I mean, it's you get a bit of a feel of what could happen if we had our own AFL team.
No doubt, and you know, that's about respect. You've got to, you know, you can't keep disrespecting the Tasmanian public the way that the AFL has, even with the governance of, you know, AFL Tasmania. It hasn't been good enough for a long time. Lip service. I don't like seeing any football club go under, but when you've got revenues of $800 million a year and you're paying yourself salaries of $3.8 million, as Dimitri did his last year, that's not good enough if you've got clubs withering on the vine. So I think that I think it'll happen for you, though. I just feel like the momentum has changed, and that's a credit to everyone down there who's campaigned. And some people like Tim Lane up here on the on the mainland, you know, who've also been at it, and I think it's going to happen.
Have you heard from the AFL since the book was released?
No, I haven't spoken to them since they took my media pass off me in 2013. And they prefer to talk to their house trained friends in the media, and that's fine. Good luck to them all.
Michael, thanks very much for your time this morning. I really appreciate it. The book is called The Boys Club. The author is Michael Warner. Thank you for your time.
Anytime, mate. Thanks for having me on.